it is really important. And I thank the Lord really from my whole heart that the Lord has given us this burden today, and not to repeat again, it's not just a topic, but it is a reality. And this whole world environment and situation gives us a reason, a cause, an encouragement to be separated. And to pursue after sanctification and holiness. I thank the Father also for myself. I think it's a great encouragement. I'm really encouraged through this time we're living in and this whole situation today. It shows us all you cannot pursue just anything or whatever. Now we all have to just remain at home and keep a social distance. That's even the law today, at least 6 feet. 2 meters in German. And actually, we already were keeping this distance a long time ago, which is a distance from the world. We don't need a virus to give us this warning to keep our distance. Distance from everything that does not please God. Distance from the world. From many evil things and even many good things. We see how much our heart still is attached to so many things. And now, suddenly, we see how worthless everything actually is. And this is very helpful for us all. And that's why, actually, we should thank the Lord for the many aspects of this virus.
Amen.
Praise the
Lord.
There's nothing that we can really hold fast to today except for this wonderful living triune God. And we see that everything else is so worthless. You see how within such a short time, everything is shut down, is collapsing. You see how the world is really just imploding. But we have such a firm anchor, the anchor of our soul. Is that not wonderful? And today we must know this God as a holy God. We know a God who is so loving, merciful, who cares for us and takes care of us, gives us everything, forgives our sins and our debts. And we know these and appreciate these traits. But what we lack is this inner consciousness that God is also holy. That's why we have been living the way that we've been living, even as Christians. We are nonetheless capable to do everything in our flesh. We express our opinion and not God's. The Lord said to Peter and actually to Satan, you are not speaking of what is godly, but what is of man. And our thoughts are also, they're of man, they're human, they're natural. And everything that is natural to man is against God, because it's not God. For the people in the world, they think in a worldly manner. But for us, we say Christians think reasonably, but we've not recognized that what is reasonable is not necessarily holy or godly, and it may not actually be what God thinks. So, unconsciously, we may actually be opposed or against God in many regards. And that's why there are so many problems and divisions among Christians today, so many difficulties. Because we are not holy. We may not have evil intentions, but it is not holy and it is not godly. My thoughts may be good, but they're not from God. And quite often, my own thoughts and understanding actually hinder God's way, stand in the way of what God wants to accomplish, because I am of a different view. And that creates many problems among the believers. So therefore, today we are gaining a new consciousness, a new awareness of His holiness. So God is holy. You also be holy. Amen. Yeah, be holy for I am holy, God said. So in these last days, we have to know God as the holy God. How often did He say to the people of Israel, I am the Holy One of Israel. Why are you so unholy? Why are you this way? I am your God. I am holy. I'm the Holy One of Israel. God is holy. And I really appreciate Peter because he emphasized this in his epistle. That is why he also says our faith has to be tested and it has to be refined because it's still mixed. It has mixture because we are quite mixed with many other things. We are not very holy.
Heilig nicht nur im Sinn von Absonderung. Ja, das ist die erste vielleicht.
Not just holy in terms of separation, which is the first general meaning of being holy, is to be separated.
Aber die Absonderung ist nicht ausreichend.
But just to be separated is not sufficient. That is just the beginning. But we have to be sanctified in our whole being. That's why Peter says in 2 Peter that we are partakers of His divine nature. That is the essence of sanctification. That's the essence of sanctification. Not just to be separated and to say, okay, we want to serve God. We are regenerated, we are saved, we are called. And yet we have so many problems among us Christians. Yeah, including us. I don't mean to refer to Christians as the others, but all of us, we are all Christians.
In den letzten 50 Jahren Gemeindeleben habe ich so viele Probleme.
Over the course of the last 50 years of the church life, I have experienced so many problems in myself and also in others.
Und hier in der letzten Zeit müssen wir
and now, during these last days, we have to really pay attention to this point. And if we desire to be holy, we also have to be refined, tested, just like gold and silver are refined. As it says at the end of Malachi, yeah, God wants to refine his people. Amen.
Silver.
Yeah. It is burned or refined the way that silver is. Recently, someone sent me a short video, and I thought it was quite meaningful. It was about Malachi 3.
Eine Frau hat diesen Vers gelesen, Malachi 3. Dass Gott dort sitzt und läutet sein Volk wie Silber.
I read a verse in Malachi 3 that God is sitting there while his people are refined or purified like silver. Silver. And he went to, it's like going to a silversmith and asking, how do you actually refine silver? How do you refine it? And the silversmith explained to this woman how, what is the process of refining silver. So then the next question was, and how long does that process take? How do you know that the silver is fully refined? How long does that take?
Und der Mann hat dann ihr auch erklärt.
And the silversmith explained that to her.
Und was machst du, wenn der Prozess läuft?
And what are you doing while you are waiting for the silver to be refined? The silversmith said, I sit right there and I watch it. And in Malachi, it says that the Lord is sitting there and he's observing, he's looking to see that the silver is being refined. And she said, really? You just sit there and watch? How come? The silversmith said, because silver cannot be in the fire for too long or for too high a heat. You have to find just the right moment to take the silver out of the fire. Otherwise, it will be damaged. So she said, really? And how do you know that it is now the right moment to remove the silver from the fire, that it's fully refined? How do you know? And she was quite surprised when he said, oh, that's very easy. If I look at the silver and I see myself reflected in it like in a mirror, then the work is complete. Is that not wonderful?
Also, ich habe diese wahre Geschichte. Es ist eine wahre Geschichte.
This is a true story that I was told, and I really took this story to heart, Lord. Continue your work until you can see your image in me. This is with reference to Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Yeah, and I pray the Lord would not stop refining me until he reaches that point. That is this process of sanctification. It's not that we are just there trying to do it on our own. But he is the one who is refining and purifying us through fire. Fire is not pleasant to go through, right? Fire is surely not comfortable or pleasant. But there is no other way to refine us, to purify us. You say, well, okay, I can be cleansed through the blood. That's true. But when it comes to transformation and sanctification, we also need God's judgment. And the judgment for this world is death. You are locked up, and in the end, you die. But the judgment for us actually is salvation. It's refining. It's purification. So that all mixture will be removed from us. There is no other way but to go through fire so that our faith would be so pure, more precious than silver and gold. That is this process of sanctification.
Complain, wie sagt man?
We often complain when we have to go through troubles or trials and tribulations. If we have problems or pressure or illness, and we say, oh, now I have to stay home, I can't go out, I complain. Well, if we do that, then we are just like the people in the world, because we have not seen, we have not recognized that the judgment is beginning in God's house. This judgment that is beginning in the house of God is wonderful.
Yeah,
we will be judged, or we are being judged, not because we are guilty and cast out. First Peter chapter 4, Peter says, judgment begins in the house of God. And if we, as the believers, are scarcely saved, then how can the world stand when judgment comes? It cannot, it will not. But for us, this judgment is, as Paul wrote in Hebrews 12, this judgment is salvation. It brings forth the peaceful fruit of righteousness that we might be partakers of his holiness. I think we've all learned more or less these days not to complain so much and not to say how come and why and wherefore. Why is this happening to me? Oh Lord, take away this problem, the suffering from me.
Aber jetzt lerne ich dem Herrn zu danken.
Amen. Yeah, but now I'm learning to thank the Lord, praise the Lord.
Weniger zu klagen, anzuklagen, weniger zu
Yeah, not to complain so much. But in all things, to give thanks. All things, that means not just good things. Of course, there are good things. But often, there are also not so good things. And nonetheless, we tell God, thank you for all these things.
Danke für dieses Leiden. Danke für dieses Prozess.
Thank you for this suffering. Thank you for this process.
Das ist zugleich Gericht. So wenn ihr zum Beispiel,
and it is at the same time, it is judgment.
Von Petrus liest,
if you read
von diesem Gericht, das anfängt,
1 Peter chapter 4, with regard to this judgment that begins in the house of God.
Folgenden Vers, wenn der Gerechte kaum gerettet wird, ja, wie werden?
He says, if the righteous is scarcely saved, what about the unbelievers? That is a, itself a reference, a quote from Proverbs.
Und im ganzen Zusammenhang in diesem Kapitel,
and in this context, in this chapter, he speaks of the suffering that the believers have to go through. Persecution, not just by the world, but even by our own brothers. And that's okay. Or are you upset and you complain? And yeah, you complain about these sufferings. No, but much more we have to praise and thank the Lord for these. Of course, it's one thing to suffer for your own mistake. That should not be as a result of our own mistake. But we praise the Lord. That is a kind of judgment. And as the brothers also shared, we also must judge ourselves. Paul said this
in 1
Corinthians 11. If we judge ourselves, then we will not be judged by him. But often it's the case that we judge others much more quickly or readily than we would judge ourselves. How quick am I to judge someone for just a tiny mistake?
Sei es weltliche Dinge oder natürlich,
whether it be a worldly matter, a natural matter, a family matter, or even with regard to spiritual things. I am so quick to judge and judge quite harshly even sometimes. We've all experienced this. But when we ourselves have committed even grave sins or grave acts, we are quite lax. Yeah. We're quite easygoing and lax on ourselves. With regard to me and what I've done, I'm very relaxed. But if my wife does something, oh boy, then I'm a judge. Right away, I'm judging. Are we not all this way? We see the splinter in someone else's eye, but we don't see the plank in our own eye. We minimize our own errors and we magnify and make everyone else's mistakes so large. We judge others, but we don't judge ourselves. And if the Lord were like us, then it would be over for us. But all, as Isaiah also said, he bore the judgment that actually was due to us. And we cannot just take this so lightly.
Warum heißt es, und vergibt unsere Schulden, wie wir.
Why does it say, forgive us our sins as we forgive others?
Das heißt, wenn ich die andere...
Forgive us our... Yeah, that means that if I judge others,
dann habe ich nicht erkannt, dass ich selber in vielen Dingen so schuldig bin.
That means that I've not recognized that I myself am so guilty of so many things.
Was die anderen gegenüber uns geschuldigt hat oder getan hat, ist so wenig im Vergleich zu was wir alle Gott schuldig sind.
What others have done to us or the debts that they owe us is so small compared to what we owe the Father and how we have sinned against the Father. We don't appreciate this. We know this, but we don't appreciate it. We know we were bought with a price, a high price. How high a price? Well, you have to estimate that for yourself. How high was the price? What did the Lord pay to save us, to redeem us? What did he have to endure as a man on this earth to accomplish the salvation that we might be brought to God, that we might be reconciled to God? And we are the ones who deserve this judgment, not he. We read the Bible and we understand it, but really, in our most inward consciousness, we have not realized. We've not realized what a high price he paid. And that's why we also don't think of sin as being so terrible. And we treat sin, we deal with sin as though it were not so bad. Because we aren't holy. We are not holy as God is holy. God's consciousness or his sensitivity to sin is different than how I think about sin. You know, if you have a fever, I'll just take some aspirin or I'll just take a pill and then my headache or my fever will go away. That's so easy today. And that's how we deal with sin. Oh, okay, I'll just take the blood, praise the Lord. The sin is gone, and I'll just continue on my way.
Aber die Sünde ist schlimmer als die Coronavirus.
But sin is much worse than the coronavirus.
Wenn du schon Respekt hast für Corona,
and if you already fear the coronavirus, then you have to have 1,000 times as much fear or awe of sin, because sin leads to death, and the death that is caused by sin is much worse than our physical death. We have knowledge and we have teaching that sin entered through death, and then death, through one man, death entered into all. We know this, but we have to know this not just in our head, in our mind. We have no idea, no concept of spiritual death. And that's why we have big problems in the church life. Oh, death? Oh, doesn't matter. The Lord will just make me alive again. What kind of an attitude is that? That is not a holy attitude.
Wenn wir solch eine Haltung haben, dann wissen wir nicht, was
der tut. If this is our attitude, then we really don't know, we don't understand what death is. Oh, it's fine. You can be spiritually dead tomorrow. There's resurrection. Oh, just die anytime. You can be resurrected anytime. Yeah. As Martha said, at the last day, I will resurrect. So, is that not a good reason to die? Let's just die so you can resurrect?
Will den Tod nicht schmecken, bevor der Herr kommt.
Richtig.
Your brother said, I don't want to taste death before the Lord returns. Well, that's your physical death. But what about spiritual death? What use is it for the Lord to come back if I'm spiritually dead when he comes?
Und Tod kommt durch die Sünde.
And death comes through sin.
Wir müssen erkennen, wir sind sündhaft.
So we have to acknowledge, recognize that we are sinful. Oh Lord, save me. And that's why we appreciate the Feast of Unleavened Bread that is held in the outer court. Actually, we should be an unleavened bread. We should be an unleavened loaf. But unfortunately, it is not yet the case that we are so. And so that's why we have to keep this feast. And
okay, mindestens, es ist nicht alttestamentlich, okay? Paulus hat es erwähnt.
I don't know why anyone would not want to keep this feast. And it's, by the way, it's not just mentioned in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, but Paul also speaks of it in the New Covenant. He's still keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Do you think there's no hidden leaven in your heart?
Und wie wirst du denn diesen Sauerteig wegnehmen? Und wie können wir völlig
geheilt? How can you purge out this leaven? How can you be fully sanctified in our body if there is still so much leaven that is so attached, stuck in our flesh, that's so hard to remove? You know, to purge away, purge out leaven, it's easy to say, but try to do it. Ask your wife, if you have put leaven into dough, how do you get it back out? How do you purge it out? Well, there's no way other than to throw away that leavened dough.
Richtig.
That's right.
Und in der geistlichen Sprache heißt
and
töten.
In the spiritual sense, that means you have to put to death, cut off. And yes, it's painful to cut things off.
Mit dem Wort des Herrn. Deine Augen rauspflücken.
To pluck out your eyes with the word of the Lord. Well, that's not literally what is meant here, but through the Spirit.
Das heißt, du sollst nicht zimperlich sein mit Sünde und mit dem Fleische.
So don't be timid when it comes to sin and to your flesh. Lord.
So dieses Prozess von Heiligung.
Amen. So this
äußeren Menschen da. Paulus sagte, nein, ich bin
this process of sanctification. Paul said, I am willing to give my soul. I'm willing to die for the Lord. That's why they were martyrs for the Lord, because they said they did not think of their own lives as being so valuable, but they were prepared, they were ready to pour out their soul as an offering.
Das ist der Weg, um zu behandeln. Und der Herr,
this is the way to deal with sin. And the Lord also did not hold back. He went straight to Jerusalem. and to the cross. It doesn't mean that he had no emotions or feelings. That's why when he prayed to the Father in the garden, he had drops of sweat and blood. That is how much he was really wrestling with this.
Weil er Mensch geworden ist.
Because he did. He became a man.
Ich meine jetzt nicht, den Heiligen da so hinzudrängen. Nein, nein, nein. Sondern ich möchte zeigen, wir kennen nicht, wie schlimm die Sünde ist und wie.
It's not my goal to push the saints towards towards this sort of deep suffering, but I'm trying to demonstrate that we have to see how defiled we actually still are by sin.
Ja.
Think about how often you wash your hands now during this time of the virus. Never in my life have I washed my hands so often as I have in these last 4 weeks. Everything I touch, inside, outside, wash my hands right away. And wash my hands for 2 minutes, not just a quick little rinse. 2 minutes.
Sie haben vorbeschrieben, Sie haben beschrieben, zweimal musst du singen Happy Birthday to you. And then it's 2 minutes.
The guidelines that say you should sing Happy Birthday twice, and that's about the right amount of time to be scrubbing your hands. Because that's, it takes time. Why? Because this virus is so deadly. If you take the blood, you have to sing Happy Birthday 10 times. Not just 1 second. Oh, okay, I take the blood. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, my sin is gone. The Lord will say, excuse me, just a minute. I'm not done washing you yet. And you've already run away. You know, it's not a joke. That's how we are. We take it for granted. It's become a habit for us. Oh Lord, hallelujah for the blood. Okay, amen, I'm cleansed. And then that's it.
So ist unsere Haltung. Wir lassen es nicht vom Herrn behandeln.
And that's our attitude. And so we don't let the Lord really deal with this sin.
Ich möchte nicht nur Vergebung bekommen. Ich möchte
I don't just want to receive forgiveness, but I want to be healed.
Die Vergebung ist eine Sekunde fertig. Aber die
and I want sanctification.
Manchmal.
You know, the washing or the forgiveness rather is sometimes a matter of seconds, but the healing can take even months. It depends on what it is you need to be healed from. Forgiveness may be a matter of a few seconds rather. The Lord says, okay, I forgive you. But the cleansing, the washing, that can take more time. If we want to be washed through the washing of the word, well, it takes time. Where do you get the water? Where does the water come for the washing of the water in the word? And it has to be pure, living water. Because it's a different kind of washing. These days you have to sanitize or disinfect your hands. That's a little bit different from just washing. And in our daily human life, we are learning. To perfect sanctification, in the fear of the Lord, because there will be a judgment. And so we see once again this picture. If we will ever build another meeting hall, we will build it out of bronze, or as the German translation says, copper, overlaid with bronze, and the separating wall, the enclosure made of white linen hangings. At least the curtains in the window can be white linen.
Oh, Herr Jesus. Amen. Damit wir immer daran denken, Herr, ich
möchte. So that we will always remember, Lord, I want to be fully sanctified. How often have I had to say to the Lord in these last months, sanctify me completely. Each part, not just my spirit. Don't think that your spirit cannot be defiled. It cannot have a spot on it. If the outward part is defiled, it will permeate through to the soul, and it will also defile your spirit, not the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, he speaks of the defilement of the spirit and of the flesh. So we are a complete being. It's not possible that if you are suffering in your soul or in your flesh, that your spirit will not be affected. Your spirit will be influenced. And then in the end, we will have no more sense for life. What did Paul say in Ephesians 4? Yeah, well, we should not walk as the nations do. Yeah, to live in the futility of our mind. Because then the understanding of the mind is darkened and the heart becomes hard, and we will then be estranged from the life of God. We are made numb. We have no more, no sensitivity. That is, yeah, if you have no sense, no appetite for spiritual things, for the word, you don't want to join the fellowship, you don't want to see the saints, nothing. You would rather just be alone in your room.
Mit Zoom.
In Zoom.
With Zoom. At least we still have Zoom today.
Aber mit Zoom ist es auch gut mit Zoom. Warum denn nicht, gell? Nur ist es leider mit CCP, da muss man sehen. Sonst am Ende CCP in China wird die Daten von allen Heiligen haben. Da, das ist nicht gut.
CCP ist die kommunistische Partei in China.
He's talking just a little bit about some of the security issues that have been reported on by the media about Zoom, the Zoom app.
Aber wir haben uns nicht zu verbergen, oder?
But even if there were a privacy concern, we have nothing to hide. Well, if the Communist Party wants to listen to our fellowship, that's fine. Maybe they will also be sanctified.
Gericht wird kommen, ja?
There will be a judgment.
Und deshalb, liebe Geschwister,
and so, dear saints,
dieses Wort, was wir jetzt haben, ist nicht nur für das Wissen.
The word we are hearing in these days is not just for our knowledge, but much more it is to be the reality in our daily and personal lives, as well as for the entire church life. And just the reason alone, God is holy, is sufficient. How is it possible that the holy God would dwell in an unholy, dead house? Brother, would you want to live in a grave?
Yeah. Wenn du homeless bist, ja, homeless, also in
Kalifornien. If you were homeless, as there are a lot of homeless people here in California.
Ich habe noch nicht gesehen, dass ein homeless in Friedhof schläft.
Even for the homeless, I've never seen that they would take up residence in the cemetery. You see them in the streets and in the city, but you don't see them in the cemetery. Even a homeless person who is dirty is afraid or does not desire to sleep in a cemetery because death is terrible. It's awful. God is a holy God. So how can he dwell in an unholy house? And if his temple is so defiled with idols and death, you think he will invite Nebuchadnezzar? Not to dwell in that temple, but much rather to fully destroy it, burn it up.
Yeah. Und wir denken immer noch, wir sind auf dem Grund, Herr Jesus.
And we might still say, or some might say, well, we are on the ground of the church. Well, we have to be watchful. Everything that is dead is, it's over. Even the old covenant, if it is dead, we have to do away with it.
Vater, ja. Jetzt betrachten wir noch einmal diesen.
So let's come back to the picture of this wonderful outer court of the tabernacle. That's not a playground, and you won't find a basketball court there.
Kein Fußballplatz.
You won't find a football field. You won't find a ping pong table there. In the end, if you think this is a game, you won't be the ping pong paddles, you'll be the ball that's being beaten back and forth. No, in the house of the Lord, there are other things that we have to do, other tasks. In your own home or on the playground, that's fine. You can play ping pong, you can play games, but not in the house of the Lord. You know, in Jerusalem, in this mosque,
dass die Muslims gar keine Achtung für diese Moschee hat in Jerusalem. Weißt du?
How do you recognize that the Muslims actually have no regard for this mosque in Jerusalem? Because they let young people play football in the outer court of this mosque, in the front yard of this mosque. That's how you can tell that nobody thinks of this mosque as holy. But if you were to do the same in Mecca, you would probably get decapitated. The temple of God is holy. Do you not know that your body is the temple of God, of the holy God? So we have to develop a consciousness of this. I'm not trying to make us fearful or anxious. That's not the point, but I want to raise this awareness and consciousness in us. If we want to pursue sanctification, then we have to hold in high regard what God values. And all these things in the outer court, all of these things, all of the instruments, the burnt offering altar, everything is most holy. The offerings are most holy. The burnt offering altar is most holy.
Und wir wollen meinen, das brauchen wir nicht.
And yet we want to say, oh, I don't need that.
Wenn du nicht brauchst,
okay. So if you don't need the burnt offering altar, then you can't just take the burnt offering altar and put it out on the street somewhere.
Du kannst es nicht hinstellen da.
You can't just leave it anywhere out there. Or you can't just put it in your kitchen.
In Jerusalem.
But it has to be in Jerusalem.
Und so, hier sehen wir, selbst alle Tätigkeiten in dem Vorhof ist heilig.
So here we see that even the activities in the outer court are holy. Keeping the feasts.
Ich danke dem Herrn, dass wir
letztendlich, I thank the Lord,
Praxis von dem Opfer angefangen haben vor vier.
That we have begun the practice of bringing the offerings 4 or 5 years ago, and we're still learning to do it. And anyone who is learning and practicing to do this knows it's not so easy. You have to practice daily, and you have to grasp more daily what it means. If I want to live a life as Christ lived, that is fully for the will of God, then I have to be obedient to God in every word that He speaks. As man lives, from every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, the scripture is God-breathed. So if there are offerings in the time of the Old Testament, then there are offerings today. They offered animals. We offer Christ as a spiritual offering. But a burnt offering then is still a burnt offering today. It's the same. How could the Lord be our sin and trespass offering back then, but not today? He is still our sin and trespass offering. You think He's not the burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering? If you think, oh, yes, I have a peace offering every day. Well, then why don't you have peace with us? Or do you only have peace with yourself?
Frieden mit Gott und Frieden mit uns untereinander und so
weiter. Peace with God and peace among all of us, and even peace with all people.
Und wir üben alle Zeit, diesen Frieden zu gewinnen, Christus zu erfahren als unser Frieden.
We are exercising ourselves to gain this peace every day. Christ Himself is our peace. He's our peace with God. And this peaceable fruit of righteousness makes us partakers of His divine nature, of His holiness. If I'm constantly arguing and fighting with this person and that person, how can you be holy? How can you be sanctified?
So, Es darf nicht nur ein Wissen sein, und das ist das Anliegen in dieser Konferenz.
So the burden in this conference really is that we need more than knowledge. Of course we need the word and we need the verses. This is very important. But we don't remain just there. We don't stay there. But much more, we need the word so that we can lay hold of it. As the brother also said, why do we need the washing of the water and the word? Why do we need the water? The word is there. But if we just look at the word and then walk away from it, then as you walk away, you've already forgotten what you read.
Den Fleck von den anderen, ne?
You see the spot on someone else. You never forget it. Even if that person already cleansed it and washed it, you still remember. When you see that person, you will forever see that spot, that stain. But your own spot, your own stain, you forget, even though it's still right there.
Nein, wir müssen schätzen.
No, we have to appreciate. Because keeping these feasts and to bring these offerings to the Father is the secret to being sanctified. That's the secret to being sanctified. Why do we eat the bread? Why do we break the bread on the Lord's Day? Because it awakens anew in us the remembrance that we have to keep the Passover feast, that we have come out of Egypt and we have to come out of Egypt and to leave behind this corrupt and perverse time, age, that we should no longer love the world, the lust of our eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the things of this world. All of this will pass away. That's what the word tells us. So that's why we have to keep this feast. And are you keeping this feast every day? That's why the Lord ordained the Lord's table, so that we would enter into the daily reality of this. You're so busy Monday to Friday, working and earning money and doing this and all your responsibilities you have to fulfill. You're still living in Egypt for all practical purposes. I don't mean you have to stop working. But in your body, you are in Egypt, you are working. But in reality, you are not there. In the reality, you are sitting, you are enthroned on high. You are working at work or at the university or wherever you are. You're physically present. You have to earn money. You have to live. That's practical. That by itself is not so-called the world. But if your heart begins to be attached to these things, and often we are not aware. We don't realize that these things begin to capture our heart. And then maybe a year later you realize, oh, my heart is so attached to this thing. Or this thing is attached to my heart, either way. So it's so wonderful to keep this feast. Recently, I had fellowship with the saints in Korea, and the question came up, why do we have to eat the bitter herbs that are part of the Passover feast? You only think of unleavened bread, but you don't think of the bitter herbs. Who likes to think about bitter herbs? Oh, they're easy to forget. They're so small. But what I told the saints was, in Revelation 22, it's written, that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22:2. So don't you need healing? Even if you have purged out the leaven, we still need healing. Paul did not say for nothing that if I still am dwelling in this tent, I feel as though I am far from the Lord, so far from the Lord. So he always was groaning and sighing. He would much rather no longer be in this tent, meaning physically in his body. But the Lord said, no, it's good for you to be in this tent. It still has its function. Because if Paul were not physically present, then he would not have been able to help the churches. But praise the Lord. To keep these feasts is so important, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to remind us, and not just remind us, but through the eating of the unleavened bread, to let us really tell the Lord, Lord, I want to purge all this leaven. And the Lord then also enlightens. He shines his light in us, because I don't know everything that's in me. It's impossible for the Lord to purge this leaven out of my body, purge the leaven out of my being once and for all. It's true that on the cross, he did away with sin once and for all. But to practically purge out the leaven out of my life, I wish it were once for all. Death is a one-time thing. It's once for all. But is it the same with sanctification, that I'm just sanctified once and it suffices? Unfortunately not. I also have to say, unfortunately not. I wish it were so, but that is not the way. So that's why the Lord has still given us time to continue living on this earth. But if we waste the time and we don't pay attention and really redeem the time, use the opportunity to pursue sanctification and holiness, then even if I live to be 100 years old, it's of no use to me. Oh, people might congratulate me. Oh, wow, you made it to 100 years old. Wow. But you know what? That's no use. Even to live to be 120, it's of no use. Yeah. If I don't use that time to, through the feast, to tell the Lord, Lord, this whole week, for all 6 days before the table, I want to have the consciousness, Lord, show me if there's anything in me. And if I find it, if I see it, Lord, take it away. But I don't even know what kind of leaven is hidden in my own heart. But I can tell the Lord, give me light. And once I receive the light, take away the things that you show me. And then David says, forget, do not remember the sin of my youth. Thank the Lord that in the new covenant, the Lord says, I will no longer remember your sin. That's wonderful. But you know, in my mind, I'm still thinking of the things I committed when I was 12 years old, what I did when I was 12. Then I have to tell the Lord, oh Lord, take that away. Remove it. Remove the thought, even my thinking about this thing. Do not remember not just the sins of my youth, but also of my older days, of my age. Praise the Lord. That's why there's also the feast, the day of reconciliation. So I encourage you again to read Leviticus chapter 16. Yeah, do you remember the conference about this day of the Day of Atonement?
Dass es zwei Ziegenbock gegeben hat.
There are two rams that the priests had to take. One had to be slaughtered as an offering, and the other bekannt
gemacht werden und auf diesen Ziegenbock hinlegen.
All the sins had to be laid upon it. And Aaron had to place his hand on the ram or the scapegoat and to send the scapegoat into the wilderness. Sorry, it's a goat, not a ram. And if you were to look for a goat in the wilderness, I don't think you will find him again. And you don't know where God will lead the goat. So far away that no one can find it again. Do you appreciate that? It was described in Leviticus 16, verse 7 onward. So this Day of Atonement is so wonderful. And for me just to say, oh, it's so wonderful, the goat is now gone in the wilderness. But what about the chastisement of my soul? The affliction of my soul. I have to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to leave my soul life. No longer, it's no longer I who live. That is such a day of atonement. And the goal is for us to enter in to the Holy of Holies. That's the wonderful picture that is shown to us by the Day of Atonement. Unfortunately, back in the time of the Old Covenant, the priest was only able to enter into the Holy of Holies one day out of the year. But today, praise the Lord, we can enter anytime, all the time. But without keeping this feast, the Day of Atonement, we cannot enter in. We are still keeping this feast, but now we keep it not once a year. Yeah. And that's why we really appreciate the breaking of the bread, because in doing so, the Lord recalls to our mind everything he has accomplished, that we would not forget to exercise and enter into the reality of this daily. And the result of that is sanctification. I'm not going into all the details of the feasts and the offerings here. You can do that.
Andererseits,
And on the other hand, in the laver, the basin, as the brother shared, and I really appreciate it. You know, sometimes we read in the Bible just to understand, oh, what does this mean? What does that mean? Oh, I have to gain knowledge. I have to prepare a message. But, you know, that's not the point. The word of the Lord actually should expose us, should correct us, chasten us. As it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. It's given by inspiration of God. And it's given to us for reproof and for correction. Do you permit yourself to be corrected by God's word? Or do you just want to see something and gain a revelation? Revelation of what? Of heavenly things? What about revelation about yourself and how unholy we are and how unrighteous we are, how naked we are actually in our inner mind? As it says in Hebrews, even to our bones, nothing is hidden before him. And how will you, where will you discover that? In God's word. That's the effectiveness of God's word that is described in Hebrews chapter 4. Or also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Everything is written as a warning to us. Do not be as the people of Israel were back then. Rebellious. Having, following their own idols and covetousness and carrying all this with them. This was all written so that we would learn and repent. Yeah, and be warned so that we would enter into the glory, that we would pursue holiness, that we would not end up somewhere in Babylon, that we would not end up in captivity.
Als Übersetzung früher völlig erkennen. Ja, also völlig.
We wanted to know him fully. Well, to really fully know him, we won't know him until he returns. But we can know precisely what God wants to do with us today for his plan. And where would we get that knowledge? We get it from the word. But if my mind is unholy, my mind is just throughout the day, I'm thinking of all kinds of things, nonsense. And then I come to the word, I want to understand the holy word, the holy scripture. That's difficult. Well, you can understand them. You can read many things and understand them. But you don't see anything, and you cannot know exactly what God wants, what he wants to do today. Maybe you know what he wanted to do 10 years ago or what he did do 10 years ago. But what about today? So then you're still focused on what the Lord did 10, 20, 30 years ago. You're oriented in the past. But you don't see what he wants to accomplish with us today.
Und dann die Reinigung. Die Reinigung. Oh Herr. Die Reinigung von gestern.
And we need the cleansing, the purification. The purification that you received yesterday doesn't count today. In California, we shower almost every day. And in the summertime, you might even shower twice a day. Once I was in Africa, in Ghana, and I showered 3 times a day. Otherwise, I will melt away.
Und in dieser Welt voller sündhaften Virus.
And in this world full of the full of sinful virus that really can cause death in you, do you not think you need the cleansing, the purification, not just through the blood, but through the life of the Lord, through Christ, through his living name? As Paul said in 1 Corinthians, you are washed, not just through the blood, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. This is a living water. Why does it say we are washed through the name? If you say, oh, it's just a little bit of dirt, I'll just wash it. Okay, then you're done. You don't need to call the name of the Lord. But if you suddenly realize how filthy and how terrible this matter is, then you will really call, oh Lord, take this away from me, Lord Jesus. You will cry out from your heart, Lord, I don't want to have this in me. You have to remove it. It has to be removed. Then you will call. You will have to call on this name. So it depends on what you see. If you have a terrible illness, you will call the doctor immediately. If your hands are a little dirty, you don't call the doctor. Oh, doctor, help me, my hands are dirty. The doctor will say, you're a crazy person, and he'll hang up the phone. But if you see, oh, I have a deadly illness, it has to be healed, then you call the doctor, you go see the doctor.
So ist es. Wir brauchen den Herrn.
And that's how it is. We need the Lord. And depending on how much you recognize your own condition, if you really see your own condition, you will be desperate and you realize you need the Lord even more. That's not a calling just out of our throat, just to say, oh, Lord, that's why the Lord says. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. But we pray, Lord, I need a thorough cleansing. Give me life. Give me the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Swallow this death in me. Give me life in my body. This cleansing, this purification is important. And I hope that through this fellowship, the Lord really can create this need, this desire in our heart, that we would see the necessity of being purified and how important it is. Praise the Lord. The judgment is a process, suffering. Yeah, we are suffering. Or do you not suffer when you've done something that is not pleasing to the Lord? Or do you take it lightly and say, okay, it's fine. Oh, sorry, Lord. Okay, goodbye. Or do you really deal with the Lord? Deal with the matter with the Lord, and you say, Lord, save me. You promised that you can save me to the uttermost. So in this matter, I want to work with you to be saved. Save to the uttermost. This thing, this matter has to be purged out. I want to be a partaker of your kingdom when you come. I want to stand before the throne with you as a first fruit. And how can I be, how is that possible if there's still so much in me? So this kind of attitude is healthy. I don't mean that we should all be afraid and shaking all the time and then, no, that's not what I'm saying. But it is a part of a healthy living is to know that if I eat certain things, if I eat a lot of a certain kind of food, I will get sick. If I know that and I'm a reasonable person, I will not suddenly be shaking with fear when I see that food. But I will just avoid that food. I would not eat it because I know it's not good for me. Yeah, because if I avoid that type of food, that keeps me healthy. And if I eat it, I get sick. Doesn't mean that I suspicious of every kind of food and every food that I see, I say, oh, will it make me sick? No, that's not what I'm saying. Our conscience should not condemn us, but it should make us pure. The blood cleanses our conscience. But if the conscience is accusing me every day, oh, this and that, you're doing this again, and this and that, well, then in the end, then this is the accuser of our brethren, then it's no longer our conscience that is warning me. Okay, John, don't eat that, or it will make you sick. That's something different. So a normal conscience will warn me, admonish me. And if I exercise myself to do this, then my conscience will tell me, deal with this thing, deal with this matter. Don't do this again. But if I keep doing it 10 times, 20 times, over and over, then in the end, my conscience is numb. It does not react anymore. Or the enemy will use it to accuse me. And that is not healthy. How much more will the blood of Christ cleanse our conscience? It's so good, it's so healthy to be free. To be free from an evil conscience, to be cleansed, to be sprinkled with the blood and washed, purified with the water. This has to be our daily prayer. Lord, cleanse me all the time. Okay, it's getting to be a little late. It's 9 p.m. in Germany. So praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. And let us still pray. Father, we thank you for your admonition. You're warning us in love. We thank you for the Spirit that not only gives us light, wisdom, knowledge, and strength, but also the fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of the Lord that makes us healthy. We want to learn to go this way of sanctification to the heavenly goal with you, to stand there together with you. Encourage us all. Father, you are the God of encouragement. You're full of mercy and grace. And you are so holy. And we believe you that you are faithful and you will accomplish it. You will do it with us. Praise the Lord. Your way is the best way. Be it an encouragement, admonishment, fire, or judgment.
Yeah,
you will take care that it will be a good work, that it will serve to heal all of us, that in the end, we would be more precious than gold and silver. And that we would all be transformed into the glorious image of Christ. We praise you, Father, for such a hope, for this hope of glory.
Amen, Father. Amen.
Halleluja. Danke, Herr, für seine Hoffnung der Herrlichkeit.
Thank you, Lord, for such a hope of glory. Thank you for this encouragement and also for all admonishment. We want to receive, accept this word, repent and also be saved. Lord, you can save us to the uttermost. So, Lord, we want to work together with you. We want to be cleansed thoroughly of all